The Sandakan Memorial Scholarship Scheme was instigated by Neil and Lynette Silver and provides a good standard of education for girls from the remote villages Kadasandusan people, the people who gave aid to the Allied prisoners between 1942 and 1945. During the war, the main part of the town of Sandakan was almost entirely flattened and does not hold the charm that it once had, although the Padang is still in existence. Sandakan itself has a population of about 479,000. It's widely spread with pockets of jungle greenery separating built-up areas. The town has some extremely high hills, and poverty and prosperity rub shoulders when one studies the architecture, building style and use of materials. At Sandakan too is the house of the writer Agnes Keith, who was for 3 years a prisoner of the Japanese during World War II. She is the author of Three Came Home, an account secretly written of her experiences in that time of imprisonment. After settling in, discovered that our toilet did not flush, could prove to be quite a shitty problem. Maintenance soon sorted things out. Remainder of the afternoon until meeting time for dinner was free. At 6:45 p.m., all of us, both groups, gathered in the hotel lobby and introduced ourselves by individually giving a micro-mini account of our lives. We then boarded the coach for the short run to our dinner venue. The English Tea House is the best and most expensive restaurant in Sandakan, perched high on a hill affording magnificent views of the harbour and part of the town. The restaurant is a relic from the days of British colonialism, a low colonial-style structure complete with croquet lawn. We dined outdoors, waited on by the staff at beautifully set tables. Wednesday, Sandakan Telupit, Death March Trek Day 1, Kampung Baltol to Gambaran. Awoke at 5:30 a.m. by wake-up call and down to breakfast by 6:15. All packed and ready, trekking clothes, backpacks ready, water and electrolytes prepared. Checked out of Hotel Sandakan and everything and everybody was loaded onto the coach, accompanied by Lynette and Neil Silver. Lynette gave an excellent commentary as we travelled along. We passed Berhala Island out in the bay. The former quarantine station there became the place of incarceration for the civilians of Sandakan after Japanese occupation. Berhala also had, at that time, a leper colony on the opposite side of the island. On the outskirts of Sandakan, we saw Kampung Buli Simsim, a water village, built entirely on stilts over the waters of the bay. Buli Simsim is the original site of Sandakan town. We bounced along, passing several villages, and stopped at a local food market by the roadside to purchase fruit. Bought rambutan, mangosteen and duku. As we journeyed on, we had begun to climb and now we were surrounded by palm oil plantations. These plantations are causing huge environmental damage to the point that some rivers have become quite narrow streams compared to what they once were. And due to erosion from the palm oil cultivation, these rivers are a murky, dirty colour. There are mile upon mile of them, where there was once natural jungle and tropical growth. What is happening here is sad to see. Roads not at all good and liberally sprinkled with potholes. After a 2-hour bounce, we arrived at the departure point for commencement of our trek, a cluster of houses known as Balto, where we were introduced to the boys, who would become our trusted and dependable guides and water carriers. Wearing our river shoes, we set off and very soon we splashed our way into a creek. For a good distance, we negotiated our way along it, against the current, the water fast flowing, rushing over rocks. Eventually, we climbed out. As we were changing into trekking boots, an earwig made its way up Joe's leg and delivered a nasty nip. Tricia to the rescue with stingoes. Once out of the creek, it was ever upward, slippery red dirt and lots of vines snaking along the ground, lying in wait to trip us up. The waiter wild vine was also keeping itself busy, trying to steal our caps and sweat scarves. Vegetation very thick, difficult to see through and track narrow. As we continued to ascend, Peter slipped and executed a mighty roll, resulting in a painful and very swollen sprained ankle. After a three-hour climb, we made it to the top of Bukit Bauto, 1,100 feet, where Lynette was waiting with lunch. Neil had accompanied us on this morning's effort. Lynette advised Joe not to continue on after lunch due to ankle and knee injuries. Better to miss a couple of hours than to miss the rest of the trek. This afternoon's downhill section, steep and slippery, some of it requiring ropes. There were others who also retired today. Kay earlier, while still in creek with breathing problems. After lunch, along with Joe, went Peter and his ankle, daughter and Neil. We had a walk of approximately 3 minutes to the road. Just wouldn't know it was there, vegetation so dense. By minibus to Kampung Telupid and the Tawai Forestry Reserve. Rooms fairly basic, but with ensuite. Our bathroom floor was awash with water. A leak somewhere, but that was soon fixed. The accommodation has a spacious covered outdoor communal area. Threw the shower and washed the clothes. This afternoon's trek was 2.5 hours and ended at Gambaran, not far from Telupid. Both Barry and Val were of the opinion that Joe would have struggled on the steeper sections. The intrepid ones arrived at Telupid, looking somewhat knackered. Gary commented that he felt fornicated after the end of today's trekking. His words, literally.